You guys did wonderful. So make sure you keep your radios on. Looks like we might have one of those blizzards out there right now. Just think, next Sunday, it's Christmas morning. How many of you have got your shopping done? Could I have the house lights here? Anybody got their shopping all done? I see one or two hands. I haven't even started. There's another hand. So what we do, it's easier because when you're a guy, this is what happens is you don't go shopping when everybody else is there. You go at the last few minutes, right? Because there's less people because they've already got it done. There's just a bunch of guys and they understand. And there's only a few things to select anyway. So then it's really easy. You just grab yourself a coffee and walk through and say, I have one of those. Could you wrap them for me, please? Yeah, and you're just as surprised on Sunday morning or on Christmas morning as they are because you don't know what you bought for anyone. It's a really good way to do it. I just want to share a few things here before we close this morning. I love it when we can get together and have the kids' minister on Friday night. Was a wonderful time. And was it last Friday? Last Friday, yeah, just week has gone really crazy. But then to have all our Sunday school ministry come up here and tell us the Christmas story. I want to talk to you for a few minutes just on the journey of receiving, because that's what it's all about. In Luke chapter 2, and we heard a bit of that already, so Joseph, in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because it belonged to the house of and the line of David. So actually, what we know as Bethlehem today. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and they were expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and soon she gave birth to her first son, Jesus. So think about this. Like I said last Sunday, we're not quite sure that he was born on a snowy day like this in December. But let's just go with that story because we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on the 25th of December. So Nazareth to Bethlehem. Has anybody been there, taken that trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem? A few people? It's about 70 miles, I understand. They didn't go the same way as you did. You took a vehicle and went there. They went in kind of adverse conditions. The direct route for them to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem would have been right straight through Samaria. But you see, the Jews and the Samaritans at that time were not very friendly with each other. The Jews thought the Samaritans were only created to fuel the fires of hell. So that really doesn't put you in a good place, right? Like, if you want to maybe have them over for dinner, you wouldn't have much to talk about because you'd be kind of thinking, well, they're not really worthwhile people. There was a bit of an arrogance because God had called the Jewish nation. And so there was this tension all the time between the Jews and the Samaritans. So instead of going through there and maybe finding some difficulty in that particular area, and it wasn't be very safe, they went up and around. And so it probably took them a little longer to go. And it probably would have taken 4 days, but most likely 10 days to walk 70 miles. Now, there's some women in here that are probably thinking, I'm like 9 months pregnant. And she got to ride on the donkey, which would have been a real treat anyway. But for 10 days. And of course, they had a card for Travel Lodge. And so they would go, and then there would be a nice soft bed for them every night. And then they would have meals, and they'd get a free breakfast like we do. Not in it, not in a long shot. There was nothing. So can you imagine that they probably were on their journey right now? And they would have had to sleep on the side of the road or sleep in places. They would have had to bring their meals with them or buy something along the road. And it would have been a difficult time because they had to go because of the census. You see, when you do, well, actually, when you begin any journey, and each one of us begins a journey in our lives, and we actually begin a few journeys. We just prayed for some of our family here who are going through some pretty difficult journeys. Some of you have your own journeys that you are starting on, and some of you are partway through those journeys, and so you kind of wrestle with even the outcome. We've read this story, and it all turned out good, but I'm sure that there may be a little bit of a dialogue going on with Mary and Joseph. Really? You had to be born here? Why couldn't you be born? Like, why couldn't you be born in Nazareth? Why, like, come on. Do we really have to go? I mean, it's just a political thing. Maybe they didn't do that, but Elaine and I would have. We would have probably had some discussions around the campfire about why is this necessary? Why couldn't it be after the child was born? Why couldn't it be? Because God has a plan. On your journey, God has a plan, and he had a plan for them to start this journey of 70 miles to walk, but that's not when the journey began. It was when the angel spoke to Mary, and the angel spoke to Joseph, and actually it started way back in the book of Genesis, where God gave us a promise that he would send someone so that he would become our gift of salvation. So there's got to be a purpose on the journey, and then there's got to be obedience for the people who are going to go on that journey. There's got to be a willingness to go. Are you willing to go on every journey? I'm not necessarily willing to go on every journey. We're going to go up and see my mom. She's in a care home right now, and things aren't very good for her. So we're going to go up on the probably on Thursday and come back maybe Friday night up to Salmon Arm. Well, we have to go through a couple of passes. We have to go over the Coquihalla. And so if you've ever been over the Coquihalla, you might think about, is this journey necessary? Can I go on this journey? Can I make it? And Elaine and I have had experience of being stuck on the Coquihalla with a brand new four-wheel drive, and the cars all in the trucks were just like somebody threw a deck of cards out there, and we are 6 hours and 8 inches of snow before we got going again. So you think about the journey. The journey's going to have some endurance. And we need tenacity to do those journeys. We need that stick-to-itiveness, that hang in there. Joseph and Mary had that in their journey to Bethlehem. But they had that long before, because here's a situation where Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph said, I will honor you as my wife, and I will make all the necessary provisions for you so that we can have this child together. And so that journey takes some tenacity, some endurance, some hanging in there, stick-to-itiveness. And you're going to experience some hardship in your journeys. How many of you gone on summer holidays and went, like, this is a holiday from hell? Have you ever been there? When the car breaks down. Elaine and I had this car. It was a beauty. It was a K car. It was like, you remember those Chrysler K cars that got, you know, Iacocca, or what is his name? Lee Iacocca. He was the guy that designed this. Got the Chrysler company out of debt and put us in it. It was K. The K car stands for curse or cash. And we went through this. I put $1,100 because we're going to go on a holiday. And we get like 150 miles from our house and the transmission seizes up. We got kids and dogs and everything. And we got an appointment because there's a wedding. So they take the transmission apart and they lose the parts. Greyhound. Did I say that name out loud? There was parts that were sitting in Vancouver, and there's parts that were sitting in some other place, and they couldn't get together. So then finally they got it together, and we borrowed Elaine's dad's Jeep, and we went on a little bit of a holiday. We couldn't go to the wedding, and so we came back, got the Jeep, dropped the Jeep off, picked our car up, and got 30 miles away, and the engine, the transmission seized up again. Oh, I tell you, So it's happy days. Happy holidays, you know? So we get that thing towed, but just so happened that the people that had the transmission shop had a tow truck right there. I think they follow you. I didn't know. They didn't give you a warranty. They just follow you with a tow truck, and then they just tow it back. So they fixed it again. Six weeks later, they phoned us and said, hey, it's all ready to go. Okay, so we go back and we pick it up. We drive it. We lived on Salt Spring Island. We drove it to the ferry. And it went grind, grind, grind like that. And all I wanted to do, and I know this isn't right, I wanted everybody to go upstairs for a cup of coffee, and then I wanted to take that big cable that goes across. I wanted to drive that thing right off into the ocean and not even tell anyone. Just let it go. And I said to him, I says, this is the third time. I'm going to drive it home. And it was like a bad rock band, you know, playing inside there. Elaine and I couldn't talk, and it was grinding. And every time I pushed on the gas, it felt better because I knew new parts were breaking. You gotta hang in there on some of your journeys. Now, was that a good journey? No, that was a horrible holiday. But do we have some stories? Absolutely. And I'm sure that Joseph and Mary had stories that we haven't even heard, but maybe we'll hear when we get to glory. You're gonna run into some hardship. You're gonna experience a difficult, but you're gonna achieve the objective of your journey if you hang in there with the tenacity of God. And the destination, when you arrive, is where God meets you. So to receive, we must first be willing to give. Joseph and Mary were willing to go where God wanted them to go so that they could receive what he had for them and for the rest of the world. It wasn't just about them. And let me tell you something this morning, your life is not just about you. Your life is about the message of Jesus Christ and how you can impact the world with that. Now, you don't have to go out in the street and say, hallelujah, and stand up on a little soapbox and preach the gospel and speak King James. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is be who you are in Jesus. And just speak to people when they ask you what the hope is inside of you. You can share that. You can share your testimony. You can share that Jesus Christ came into your life and changed it. Because we all have personal journeys. And all journeys begin with obedience, which may include hardship, the developing of faith and tenacity, and leading us to the exact place where we need to meet him. We need to meet him. We need to know that when it says, the psalmist in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that we use that a lot of times at funerals, but there's more to that for us who are alive. There's more to that statement. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness is the way that that word is rendered. Deep darkness. And if you've ever been in the dark, if you've ever not been able to see your hand in front of your face, it's a pretty scary proposition. And if you're all around and you can maybe even reach out and touch something, but you don't know what you're touching, it can be pretty scary. And you can be with other people and you still feel alone. Not with Jesus. Let me tell you something, not with Jesus. Because he's in there. He's in that deep valley. He is the light of the world. He is there. He is the light of the world, and he lives inside of you, and he will walk you through any journey that you're going to find yourself in. He will walk you through, and you will be personally led by him. Because he's walking our journey with us, and he's waiting for us when we arrive at our destination. Figure that one out. God is omnipresent. So that means that he's everywhere all the time. So think about it when you're walking through your journey, and if it's a dark journey or if it's a difficult place, he's already walking with you, but he's already waiting for you when you get there. Do you understand that? that he is here with you now, and he's already waiting for you to arrive with him. How does that get your thinker going? Because he's all present. And so being all present and all knowing and all powerful, can you imagine? And I want you to imagine this in your spirit, that there's nothing, no journey in this whole entire world, and as long as we're on the face of this earth, that you will not succeed when Jesus Christ comes along with you on that journey and you let him. Because he's waiting for us when we arrive at our destination. There he gives us the promises that he's placed in our hearts. And so does he just do this for us? No, actually he did it for his disciples so he could show us that he's done it for us. Matthew chapter 10, it says, these 12 sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any of the town of the Samaritans. You see, that war was still there. That tension was still there. And that changed when Peter and Paul were sent to the Gentiles, who were the Samaritans and who we are, and we were engrafted in. But at this time it was said, don't waste your time with the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of God has come near. Well, what does that mean? That means that the presence of God inside of you has come near in those people's lives. That means that wherever you are on your journey, the presence of God is there. Wherever you put your foot, that is holy ground. That's all scripture. That's not just encouraging words from Jim Caruso. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we can walk in this power. So the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then he says, while you're there, while you're in that presence, heal the sick. Don't wait till Sunday morning. Don't wait till Wednesday night, or don't wait till somebody you know can do the healing. Don't wait. Listen, when you're in those lines in the grocery store and when you're in the parking lot in Costco, instead of feeling like this place is nuts, say, God, I'm here for a reason. I'm on a journey. It might take you a long time to get into Costco, but there's a reason you're there, not just for the good deals and the good shortbread cookies. But there's a reason. You might run into somebody, or you might overhear a conversation where people are struggling, and you can say, you know what? I just kind of happened to overhear your conversation, and I know Jesus, and he can change that for you. That's what it's all about. And so he said, heal the sick and raise the dead. Wow. Wow. He still does that kind of thing. Cleanse those who have leprosy or any other disease. Our leprosy today is cancer, but there still is leprosy. In other words, he's saying, there's nothing impossible for me inside of you. You need to understand that. And then drive out demons, because he doesn't want you to be suffering from bondage or addiction or whatever it is, but he wants you to be free. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Freedom. Hallelujah. He came to give us freedom. And we have that to be able to give to others. So he ends this little discourse with his disciples and says, freely you have received, freely give. Would that team come up, the worship team? What we're talking about here is, it's tough to receive. It really is. It's much easier. Does anybody here think they might receive something next Sunday morning as a Christmas present? Anybody here going to get some presents? Right? Anybody going to give some? It's a lot easier to give, isn't it, than to receive. Not so much at Christmas time, but what if you're going through a difficult time? What if you need some finances and somebody comes by and says, God just laid it upon my heart that I should give you this money. And you go, oh, no, I can't do that. Why? If God has told that person to give something to you because you know you have that need, you need to humble yourself and receive that so that the giver can fulfill their ministry. And then you'll have the opportunity to give. But you first need to be able to receive. And that's pretty tough. Some of you don't even feel that you're in the right place with God to receive healing or freedom or peace. Or you probably even right now, maybe in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, but I caused this. I didn't have a choice, or I just don't feel that God could love me because really I made the choice, or I don't believe that God could love me, and because he can't love me, then he can't give me anything that I need. I need to suffer. Well, let me give you kind of a spoiler alert. This is the Christmas story. In a few months, we're going to celebrate the resurrection story. And you know what he did there? He suffered for you. He suffered for you so that you could walk in freedom. There isn't a thing that didn't hang to the cross of Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, that you can't receive from him because he loves you. You can ask that for him, from him right now. You can ask, you can say, God, I just need something inside of my life. Christmas is next Sunday. Not often it happens on Sundays. Every 7 years, unless it's a leap year. But we don't have to wait for Christmas to receive his gift. We can receive it every day. So I'm going to encourage you. Pastor Rodney's going to lead a bit in worship here. God is really interested in you because, you see, he sent his son to be born of a virgin so that he could fulfill the ultimate gift for every one of us, and that is salvation. He wants you to know that this morning. So I'm going to get you to stand with me. I think these kids shared that message so powerfully. The radio station invited them in. What a great thing. They were in difficult times. They couldn't travel on the road any further. They needed some place to be warm and some place to eat and some place to be safe. So the radio station opened their doors. This morning, you may need something from Jesus. And he said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll just come to him, whatever it is, maybe you need to have a personal relationship with him. Maybe you need to give your life to him right now. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, that means that you just say, Lord, I just need you to forgive me of my sins. I'd like you to come in and be my Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to give over your fear. Maybe you need to give over your addiction. Maybe you need to give over your pride. Maybe you need to give over a broken relationship. Maybe there's something here that you just need to just say, I'm done with this. I don't want to pack this anymore. I don't want to stay in this. I don't want to be in this dark valley anymore. I want to be free. So I'm going to invite you to come to the front. If you have any of those needs this morning, we're going to pray for you.